Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. You've heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at the last of the sermons in our series on forgiveness. This is going to be on loving our enemies. Before we get into that, I want to add my welcome to everyone that's here. And it's so good to see children this morning. As I mentioned, I'm having problems talking. I'm envious of song leaders. When they have a sore throat, they say, if I stop, just keep on singing. And a preacher can't do that. So we're going to try to get through this morning. So forgiveness, we have looked at some areas where forgiveness may be difficult. If we are abandoned by our father or mother, infidelity, divorce, lying, betrayal by a trusted friend or confidant, there are these emotional areas, physical areas, sexual or domestic abuse, parental neglect of a child's physical needs, spiritual issues, misuse of authority by a church leader, financial, stealing, embezzlement, fraud, failure to repay a debt or a loan, unfair loss of a job or employment, discrimination, social things that arise. Throughout life, one area or another or several areas, there are going to be situations that arise where we are going to need to forgive someone. Last week we looked at some examples, Jacob and Esau. We looked at Joseph and his brothers. We looked at David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. We looked at the woman that anointed Jesus' feet. We looked at the prodigal son. We looked at the tax collector and the Pharisee. We looked at the woman that was caught in the physical act of adultery, and Jesus forgave her. We looked at Jesus on the cross forgiving others. We looked at Jesus forgiving Peter. And we looked at Stephen and his dying words were, "Lord, forgive them. Lay not this charge at their feet." The Bible is full of examples. Now, when we go back to the statement, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Notice when he says, you have heard that it was said. He didn't say it is written. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. The Jews were taking that phrase from back in Leviticus. It's the Old Testament passage which says, love thy neighbor. It does not, however, say, hate thine enemy. That was an addition to God's word by the scribes and the Pharisees. So this was I've heard some people say, this was part of the old law where you loved your neighbor and you hated your enemy. It doesn't say that. You've heard that it was said. This was added. So the people of Jesus' day had fallen into the habit of taking a truth and linking it with an error. And to use an Old Testament figure of speech, they were yoking an ox with an ass. They were joining two things that should not be joined. They were taking liberties with God's word. And it's interesting, too, talking about yoking an ox with an ass. They were not to do that when they were plowing or when they were doing other things. they were to be equally yoked together. So that helps us understand more when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are to be joined where God wants us to be joined in a multitude of things. And we can't take liberties of this phrase of the Bible and that phrase of the Bible and join them together. So underlying these verses, there's a challenge that we should be like our Father that is in heaven. That is what it's really all about. That we should be pure and holy like God, whom they are taught to worship through Christ. So again, this goes back to Bible Basics 101. What's the Bible about? It's the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring glory to God. And we need, as children of God, to behave and have the heart of God. God loves sinners. God even sent his Son to die for sinners while they were still in sin. And so as his children, Christians should love all men, sinners included, even our own personal enemies. And that's not always easy. To live the other way is to be no better than the publican. That was the publican, the tax collector. They were collecting taxes for the Roman government. And the Jews, to the Jews, that was about as low as a man could get. You're out collecting money for the powers that be. But we are to be different. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? This is an interesting statement. What do you do more than others? What makes you different than anybody else? The implications are profound. This means that Christians, we are to be different. It means we are to love more than others. We are to do more than others. Our righteousness is not just getting by with the bare minimum. Our righteousness is a matter of going beyond. You see someone that has a job and the boss tells the person, do this. They do it. And then you have some people that go above and beyond what they are told to do. That's the way God wants his children to be. Giving the cloak also. Going the second mile. Turning the other cheek. We don't repay in kind. We should repay greater. Loving enemies, praying for those who persecute them, and in short, being sons of your Father who is in heaven, Matthew 5:45. So again, when we've been looking at forgiveness, there's going to be areas where we need to forgive someone. And you just think about, sometimes we reluctantly say, okay, I'll forgive you, or they may not have even asked, and we forgive them in our heart, in our mind, but we need to go beyond that. We need, and then I was going to say too, with that, sometimes we forgive them and then we try to forget them. But we need to remember, especially like with some of these other examples, the person may be lost, our enemy may be lost, and we need to pray for our enemy. God cares about that person. We need to be like our Father. We need to care for that person. So anyone who's been wrong knows that forgiveness is not easy. Resentment and bitterness are damaging. And you just think of the examples from last week. Jacob and Esau. You know, he was afraid that he was going to die. He split his group up into two groups. If he comes after this group can get away. Vice versa. Joseph and his brothers, when his brothers found out that Joseph, who he was there in Egypt and the position that he had, they were afraid for their lives. They were afraid for their lives. But what did Joseph say? You meant it evil for me, but God meant it for good. And Stephen and the mob, how easy it would have been for Stephen to say, God give them everything they deserve. But he didn't say that. He said, do not lay this sin at their feet, at their charge. If anger is allowed to fester, it's going to spill over into other areas of our life, destroying relationships and leading to a path of revenge. So we need to make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy, and without holiness, none of us will see God. And so when we think about forgiveness, we need to think of it in two different baskets, I call them. The other person and ourself. We forgive the other person, but we've got to go above and beyond for ourself, so that we are healthy, so that we do not have that anxiety, so that we have that proper relationship with God. So we forgive so that we will be forgiven. If we want to be forgiven ourselves, we must extend forgiveness to others, allowing forgiveness to triumph over the desire to get revenge. We've got to give up the idea of getting revenge and forgive the person. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Often the key to having a healthy relationship begins with forgiveness. God's working in the world to reconcile sinful man to himself through Christ. And he calls us to be ministers of reconciliation also. So then again, back to basic Christianity and what the Bible is about. God is trying to mend all of these relationships with man that have sinned and bring them back in the right relationship with God. Reconciliation. And God has forgiven all of us when we are obedient to him. And as his children, he wants us to go out and reconcile relationships also. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors, someone that represents someone else. We are wanting to get men reconciled to God, but we can't do that if we have something against this brother or against this sister. Colossians 1:21, and you who were once alienated and sinners in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel of which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We were once alienated and enemies, but we were reconciled. We need to be reconciled with those in our life. We need to give up our thoughts of revenge. Again, it's natural. It's a natural response when we're harmed. But God's word says to be careful that our anger does not take us to revenge. We should not add sin upon sin. We leave the situation where it belongs, in God's hand. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. That's easy to read, but it's hard to do sometimes. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Sometimes you'll hear somebody talking, oh, I can't believe what so-and-so did to me. I can't wait to get back at him. And their mind just starts spinning. Friends, we shouldn't be that way. Proverbs 20, verse 22, do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, he will save you. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to turn and read that one. I want to add a few more verses on there. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. You know, just thinking of all of these things, we can all think of an example. And like I have said before, Christmas, like 2 years ago now, someone broke into our shed and stole things out of it. Things I needed, expensive things, they stole them. And when I started calling the police, the first thought in my mind was, I hope the police get them. I hope the police get them. And I don't think that's an unnatural thought, but I couldn't let it keep going. And I had to, at some point, realize they're just things. And this is the world we live in, where thieves break in and steal. But for a day, I was thinking, I hope the police get them and do something to them. And they had been robbing other places early that morning also. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with hands that which is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, the workplace. Several years ago, there's one employee that I had to deal with, and he would just get right up in my face and say things to me, and it took a lot of self-control to not say something that was not appropriate, or to do something, because he was really just trying to get me to say something or take a swing at him, and I didn't. And then later something happened and he didn't show up, and I called him and I said, because of this, you're fired. And he said, okay. And that he was trying to do the whole thing earlier so that I would fire him so he could collect money again. And it would have eaten me up if I had jumped in to what was going on with him. If I had returned evil for evil, when he said this at me, if I had escalated things and taken it to another level. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lips. We need to think before we speak sometimes. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Let us obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Let us obey his blessed command. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something, the best thing to say is nothing. Sometimes the best thing is to walk away. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. You see, people that have had friendships for years, they say something, maybe in the heat of a moment, on some occasion, just a sentence or so, and that relationship is broken. Romans 12:14, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, and since God is going to take vengeance on the enemy, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, we understand these first two rather easier than the third one here. If your enemy is hungry, instead of saying, "Well, that serves him right, serves him right," we should feed him. That's overcoming evil with good. If the enemy is thirsty, we give him a drink. That's overcoming evil with good. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Again, that was an act of kindness. And you can look and still see in areas of the world where they carry so much on a basket on their head. And if someone's fire would go out in their home, they would have to borrow coals, embers from somebody else's place. They could put them in this basket that was lined with clay or whatever and carry those to their house and heat their house again. Overcoming evil with good. If we have anger, we've got to deal with it. Sometimes anger and bitterness prevents us from experiencing the freedom of forgiveness. Again, people that do not forgive, they are like prisoners. They're prisoners. They live in these four walls of hate. Ephesians 4, as we read. And 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Remember our own sins and our need for forgiveness. When we recognize our own need for God's forgiveness, that helps us to see our offender's need for mercy also. The Pharisee and the tax collector that we looked at last week. When the tax collector, what did he say? He said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." When we take the Lord's Supper, as we did this morning, we should all be reminded that had our sins that were responsible for the death of Christ. We were responsible, making it necessary for Christ to leave heaven and come down and be my sacrifice. And we need to take the Bible and see that it was written to me. I need to see it was written to me. You need to see it was written to you. If you don't see it that way, it's not going to change your life. This is a collection of letters from our Father to us for us to read diligently and make application. Self-righteousness will breed an unforgiving heart, but through humility we can learn to extend mercy to others. As the tax collector said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Forgiveness and loving our enemy is a testimony of God's love. Again, people in the world aren't going to do that. They aren't going to love their enemy. The world tells us to get even, make them sorry. Or like sometimes you'll see, you may be in a store or at a sports field or something, and two boys get into a scuffle, into a fight, and one of the father tells them, "You know, you go back and you take care of that. You give it back to him. You give it back to him." Friends, that's the wrong attitude. And you see that I would say most of us have seen that. And out on the sports field or in a store or something, maybe at a school function, and you stop and you think, if a child learns that when they are young, you got to retaliate. What is that child going to be like when they grow up? They're going to be getting in trouble. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, somebody does you wrong, you forgive them. You forgive them. It'll free you from any anger, and God will deal with things. We forgive with no strings attached. That may require us to forgive repeatedly. When we do, we shock the world with God's power at work within us. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Paul tells us to forget the past. How many times do somebody's wronged us and we bring that up? We carry it with us. We carry it like a monkey on our back. We won't let it go. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Stop and think about this. If there's something that's holding you back, we'll call this person your enemy at work, your neighbor next door, your enemy that really gets under your skin. Are you going to let that person keep you from going to heaven? On the judgment day, when you're standing before God, are you going to say, well, God, I would have done this, but he's responsible? That's not going to work. We've got to forget the past. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. See, so much of this goes back to our mind and our heart. We need to love our enemies. We need to pray for our enemies. So loving our enemies is to see them as fellow human beings who are loved by God, and they need his grace and mercy also. This doesn't mean that we have to tolerate their abuse that they might give us or invite them to hurt us again. That is what some people call love, and that ignores or allows damaging sins, and that's not really love at all. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. When I did the lesson on toxic people, and one of the things that I had said on there was, you know, you have to set boundaries. You have to set boundaries. You can forgive the person, but then if they are of the type that is going to keep doing something repeatedly to you, you can keep repeatedly forgiving them, but you do not need to invite them to verbally abuse you, physically abuse you, steal from you. We were somewhere one evening in a meeting where families were talking about situations going on, and this one older couple had a son that was living with them that was physically abusing them and taking money to use for things that shouldn't be used for. Shouldn't have been abusing the parents. But we live in a world that it's just so messed up because of sin. We've got to have a heart that forgives people, but we don't have to put ourselves in a situation to get beat up or to get abused. We have a choice. We have a choice. But I tell you, and it's interesting, you know, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And that's something else. Sometimes when we forgive the people, but it doesn't stop there. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for them, that we might be like our children, or we may be the children of our Father in heaven. It's our choice. And our life is going to manifest that. Either we forgive or we don't forgive. Either we love our enemy or we hate our enemy. We learn to forgive. We learn to have a healthy mind, a healthy relationship with others. We appreciate so much that God has forgiven me. We learn to appreciate that. We learn when we forgive others, we see, and I can't believe that person did that to me again. Friends, how many times have we done something to God? How many times have we sinned against what God has said? It's ongoing. But if we don't forgive, again, Satan doesn't want us to. Satan wants us to strike back at someone, and it'll just eat us up inside. And we will not be the children of God. We must learn to love and to pray for our enemies. We need to remember that all of us once were enemies of God. And we needed to be reconciled. We needed to be obedient to His word. We needed to repent of our sins. We needed to confess those sins. We needed to be buried in baptism for the remission of those sins. And if there's anyone here this morning that needs to do that, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.